fast tonight. Truly blessed, as Brother Seth was saying a while ago, how much the Lord has really blessed us. And just look outside, you know, if you was anything like me, you woke up this morning and probably thought it was October.
Yeah.
Man, it feels awesome outside. I really appreciate the Lord for giving us this wonderful weather, giving us a little bit of break from the heat. And I got good news for you. If you're saved, it's as hot as it's ever going to get up here.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You don't have to worry about going to that awful fire, that awful place called hell.
That's right.
Amen. Tonight. But if you lost, there's a place waiting for you.
Yeah.
It wasn't prepared for you. Amen. It's prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. But if you choose to serve the devil, then that's where you'll end up, is right where he is at the end of time, right there in that place called hell. And we definitely don't want you to go there tonight. We want you to be able to receive the Lord Jesus in your life tonight. So if you're lost tonight, if you're a special guest here in this house tonight, and this altar is open, don't mind me if I'm preaching in the middle of my preaching or whatever. You come and get your heart right or talk to the Lord, get the needs met.
Right.
Amen. The Lord wants you to come. He said, come now. Amen. Today is the salvation. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't put it off till tomorrow, what you can do today. Amen.
Amen.
You got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And as I began to sit outside today, and I thought it was a nice day, so I went outside to sit and study a little bit and begin to look at the backyard and all the wildlife and everything, just enjoying how beautiful the Lord's creation was. They gave me a few scriptures to preach on tonight, and it kind of goes along with what I've been kind of pondering on the last few weeks. And doing my best tonight, and just doing the best I can to mind the Lord. Amen.
Bless him.
And I don't expect any more from him, and I hope he don't expect any more from me. Just do the best I can.
Amen.
Bible says in Matthew 26, let me go up here a few verses here. Let's go to verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further. Aren't you glad he went a little further?
Amen. Amen.
That always touches my heart. It says, and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Yeah.
And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I'll ask you to bow your heads as we go, Lord, in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We're thankful, dear God, for this opportunity once again to stand behind your sacred desk, Lord. Lord, dear God, we realize, Lord, you called us for a purpose, Lord, and we pray tonight that you'll help us, Lord, dear God, to be used of you tonight as a vessel, Lord. Lord, help us to decrease that you may increase in this service tonight, Lord. Help us all to be revived, Lord, in this house tonight, Lord. Help us not to worry about what's happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow, Lord. Help us, Lord, tonight to focus on what we're going to do right now for you, Lord. And all what instructions you have us to understand, what you have us to learn from this word, may it fall upon good ground tonight, Lord. God, that the seed be able to take root and grow up, Lord, and bear much fruit, Lord, dear God. Bless this service tonight. We pray and we give it into control of your hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I have a thought tonight, well, not really a thought, but a key verse here that I really concentrated on is verse 41. It says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now notice he said the flesh was weak, and we find that later on here, just another verse down, that their flesh was weak, they were tired, and their eyes were heavy. And it talks about how the Spirit's willing. I think it's interesting how Jesus tells the disciples something that He Himself is going through.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Amen. His flesh is weak, and that His flesh, nobody wants to die in this flesh. We don't want to suffer any kind of pain, especially that of His excruciating pain as His crucifixion. But amen, I'm glad He had a Spirit inside of Him that was willing to go all the way. Oh,
amen.
Yeah. And it talked about how the Spirit was willing. He told the disciples, you know, it's almost like He says, hey, if I can go through it, amen, to do all that I have to do, then surely you can just watch with me 1 hour. You can have enough about you, enough of your spirit to be about you in this place, the way you could stay up and you could help me pray a little bit.
Yeah.
He said there that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
I began to think about that this week and begin to read, and I'll give you some more scripture here in a minute, but I looked up that word willing in the Strong's Concordance there. And I like to look up words every now and then to see what the original meaning was. And when I looked that up, that word willing doesn't only mean willing. It also means ready. Yeah. It means passionate. It means going forward. In other words, you're reaching forward. It's kind of what Paul said in Philippians over there. I think it was 3:14 where he talks about 3:14, where he talks about, you know, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That willing, that spirit in us has a passion to move forward, amen, and go for the goal, amen, to go for what God has us to do.
Yeah.
God put that kind of a spirit in us when He created us, amen. We're made in His likeness, His image.
Right.
Hey, and a lot of times our flesh takes over and it gets weak. A lot of times we have this problem, this body, I know I do myself, hey, we get tired in the body and we think to ourselves, you know, I'm probably just going to not go out and do what I need to do today. I could just take it easy and just have a good day off or whatever. Sometimes that's good. The body needs rest. But what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, folks, is you are not your body.
That's right. Yeah.
There is a spiritual man residing, spiritual man, woman, spiritual being residing inside your flesh. Amen. The Bible says in James, as the spirit without the body is dead, so faith without works is dead. Amen.
Right.
When that spirit departs from that body is just a body. But the spirit lives on.
Yeah.
Amen. I begin to think about this, about all these spiritual things that was going on here. And I tell you what, God placed in our body a spirit. Amen. Something that strives to be excellent, strives to be perfect. Amen. Especially if you're born again. Amen. Tonight, when you get into this world, when you're born in this world, you have a broken spirit.
Yes.
Amen. And you've got to get your heart right. You've got to get your soul right with the Lord. Amen. So that He can use that spirit and direct it towards good things. Hey, instead of the evil things which you have been grown up and raised to go by. Amen. If you're lost tonight. But the Bible talks about the spirit. That spirit that's in me and you is willing. It's willing to do what God had it do. But I tell you what, the flesh just gets in the way. Many times, more times than not, we find the flesh gets in the way.
Sometimes
this is twice that the Lord has shown me this. Right. It seems like, hey, when I find myself going in all these different directions, I wonder what needs to be done next, and there's so many things that needs to be done in life today, you get so tied up and so overwhelmed. Hey, but you got to realize that that is a carnal thing. That is something your flesh, you go and reach after things your flesh had appetites and lust for. It wants to be good, it wants to be great, it wants to be successful. Hey, but if you ain't got God in the equation, then everything is for naught.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Turn over with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 8. Actually, chapter 7. Now, I want you to realize, Paul had this problem with his flesh.
Yeah.
He was talking to the Romans about what was going on in his flesh. When I read this, I think to myself, you know, Paul, you must be reading my mind. It's exactly what I feel like sometimes. Now, Romans chapter 7. Let's start about verse 15. Now see if this sounds familiar to you, especially if you're Christian. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Notice that will, the willingness. It's present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm going to read that again. I want you to get that. Verse 21, I find then a law. A law. In other words, this you can just write it down. This is just as good as the law of gravity, the law of anything else you can think of. This is a law, spiritual law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We're getting that inward man here a little bit, Lord permit. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You flip over on to chapter 8 there, we're going to see how Paul deals with this. Paul here finds a law in this spiritual life that whenever he would try to do good, evil is present with him. Yeah. His flesh is always present with him. Amen. This body is a fleshly body and it's subject unto the things of the world and to the sin that's in that dwells in it. I tell you what, you know, it talks about sin. Now, to me, when I first read this a long time ago when I was just starting out, seems like God, Paul was making an excuse for the things that he would do. He would say, you know what, it wasn't me, it was the devil. It was the devil made me do that. But he wasn't saying that. What he's saying is, hey, the law, there is sin in this body. As long as I'm in this body, I'm subject to try to fulfill the will of the flesh. But he says, with my mind serve God. Amen? The mind is what controls everything else. Amen. He talks about that inward man. We find later on in 2 Corinthians over there that inward man is renewed day by day.
Yeah.
That inward man is that spirit I was talking about. Now, a lot of times we read the word spirit in the Bible and we think immediately Holy Spirit. But that's not every occurrence of spirit in the Bible. It's there is. Holy Spirit's most of the time capitalized. I forget what they call that in English. But anyway, it's a proper pronoun or whatever you call it. It denotes that is a person if you have a capital letter on the name.
Yeah.
And we have a spirit in us. We have a body. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think 23, hey, that God make you whole in your soul, in your body, and your spirit.
Yeah.
Within man, we have all three. We have the body, we have the soul, and the spirit. A lot of times we get the soul and the spirit confused. But they're two separate entities. Yeah. God created us in His image.
Right.
By the Father. Of the Son, of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Body, Spirit, Soul.
Yeah.
We are a Trinity as well.
Right.
Not a divine Trinity, don't get me wrong, but we are created in that same aspect.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us about the Spirit, how it wars with the flesh. Mm-hmm. Over in Galatians, it talks about how the flesh lusteth against the things of the Spirit so that you could not do the things that you would. And that's exactly what we just read that Paul had problems with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He found that whatever he wanted to do, he just could not do it. And whatever he didn't want to do, he ended up tending to do that thing. Yeah. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that spirit that's within us is willing to do God's will. It's passionate about doing God's will if you're born again.
Right.
And I tell you what, you got to keep an eye out for that flesh.
Amen.
That flesh will make you want to lean off a little bit and get a little bit lazy.
Amen.
That flesh will make you want to skip on church. Amen. It'll make you want to come Sunday morning and not want to come Sunday night, amen. It'll make you want to come Sunday and not come Wednesday.
Right.
It'll make you want to skip revival because, you know what, I get to go to church two or three times a week anyway. Hey, I don't need no more, but I tell you what, we need to get all we can get.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, me.
Amen.
Amen, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not perfect. This body gets tired. We tend to listen to that little whispering voice in our ear that says, you know what, you're tired. You know what, this is such a pretty day the Lord's given us. Lord, you know, it's a wonderful day. It's Sunday morning, but it just seems like it's been forever since I've been out on that boat. Lord, I just go and worship you out there while I'm catching fish. And every time I reel one in, I'll say, thank you, Lord, and make sure everything's all right between me and God. Right. Hey, but I tell you, that's where you get your belly fed. Amen. That's where you get the flesh satisfied.
Yeah.
Hey, that inner man is not being fed at all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's truth. Amen.
Bible, we get fed by the Word.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. It's that Word that feeds
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I feel the Lord here tonight. I hope it's there too. Amen. The spirit I'm talking about that God put inside man is a spiritual being. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, hey, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God because he cannot, because they are spiritually discerned. When you become born again, you become born not only of the water and the birth, but of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And now we can be in tune with that Spirit in us, which strives to do what God wants us to do. I tell you what, we have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. I begin to think about that. Lord, what's the difference between the spirit and the soul? And I begin to think about that, and that really is a really important thing. The important thing is that you realize that we have within us a spirit. Amen. It's kind of like the body has a heart inside of it. Well, the soul has a spirit inside of it that strives to be perfect. You think about, you know, the Bible, a lot of times the Bible talks about the mind. Amen. It talks about the heart. Amen. It talks about keeping thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And he's not talking about your physical heart. Amen. That's just an organ. Amen. He's talking about that spiritual man. Amen. Yeah. Keep him pure. Keep him sanctified. Keep him set apart. Right. Keep watch over him, because, amen, the flesh will want to get in the way.
Oh, yeah.
Let me show you about that. Romans, turn over to chapter 8. Well, this is good stuff here. Verse 6, Romans chapter 8. Now notice this. This has been on my mind for 2 weeks. For to be carnally minded is death.
Yeah.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Man, how many people today are in turmoil?
Mm-hmm.
In turmoil in their heart, in turmoil in their mind, in turmoil in their body. All because that they are not born again. They don't have a spiritual mind. They don't have a spiritual mindset. They don't see things as God sees them. He says, you know, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We read the Word to find out how to be more in tune with God through that inner man.
Uh-huh.
Amen. To be carnally minded is death. Amen. I don't know about you, but when you worry, when you fear, when you think about what all needs to be done tomorrow, I need to clean the house, I need to do this, and my business needs this to get done. Trust me, I know I've been there. And God always brings me back to this verse. That I have that kind of mindset is death. That's how we get ulcers. That's how we get heart attacks. That's how our body just wears away.
True. Yeah.
Because you know why? Because we are satisfying that flesh. That flesh is taking over. And when you start to feel that way, you need to realize that to be carnally minded is death. You have to go inside. You have to get across, along with God and say, God, get me in tune with you.
Yeah.
Get me in tune with this Word. Yeah. Put me where I need to be. Hey, get my mind thinking on things that are pure, things that are lovely. If there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things.
Right. Yeah.
Paul was trying to get the Philippians to get that mindset in chapter 4 of Philippians. Amen. He said, don't take no thought for your life. Don't be careful for anything.
Yeah.
Amen. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah.
And the
Amen.
Peace which passes all understanding,
yeah.
Amen, shall guard your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Spiritually minded is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know what? You don't have to. It's nice to know that you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and know, you know what? Sufficient unto the day tomorrow is the evil thereof. I can leave tomorrow alone because I might not wake up tomorrow.
Right. Right.
I might not be there to settle those things.
Right.
The important thing is that when you go to bed tonight, it's settled right here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Because you know what? You can't make your hair gray. Amen. By worrying, by taking thought. Matthew 6. You can't increase the height of your stature by worry.
Right.
Amen. You seek first the righteousness of God and His kingdom.
Amen.
And all these things will be added to you. That's getting in a spiritual mind. That's getting in that spirit and say, God, put me back in touch with you. So in verse 6, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's kind of like north and south pole, and you put a magnet together, they're going to try to get away from each other every time. That's good and evil. That's good and evil.
Yeah.
They don't work together. They don't. Oil and water don't mix.
Right.
It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why when you would do good, evil is present with you. That's why you can't do the things you want to, because you're just always constantly warring against the flesh and the spirit. That's where the whole armor of God comes in. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Emphatically, without doubt, cannot please God.
Amen.
We get in this flesh, we get in that mindset, we think, oh, it's going to be a terrible day tomorrow. I've got all this to get done. I've got to get all this wrapped up before we go on vacation and all this stuff. And I'll say this right now, pastors. There's only one in here as far as I know. There are some of the worst ones to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to take care of the church this way. I've got to do this. And we think we're being spiritual and we're being pious, but we're letting the world dictate how we should be doing God's work and His plan.
Yeah.
What if we just settle down and calm ourselves and get in touch with the Father?
True.
And let that spiritual man do the talking. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit talking to God with groanings which cannot be uttered. A lot of times we don't know how to pray. Why is that? Because the flesh don't know how to talk to God.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting a lot of stuff out of this tonight.
Right.
I told my wife, I told Seth a while ago, I said, you know what, this right here would take two messages to preach it out at least.
Yeah. Good preaching.
Seth told me, I know what you need to preach about tonight. I said, what? You ain't got on the bulletin, do you? He said, no, you need to preach about 10 minutes and shut up. I was like, thanks for the vote of confidence. But I tell you, in that flesh, you cannot please God. I don't care who you are.
Right.
You can be Billy Graham for all I care. You're in the flesh, you can't please God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
There's two things that I found in the Bible that you cannot please God. One is if you're in the flesh, and another is it without faith. It's impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
Amen. And those two go together. That faith and that spiritual man, boy, they eat each other up. They love.
Yeah.
You talk about the fruits of the Spirit, that spiritual man gobbles those fruits up. That's what nourishes the spiritual man.
Yeah.
Back in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about love, joy, peace, meekness, and all these other things. That's how the Spirit gets nurtured and gets nourished. But I tell you what, this whole chapter here, it's amazing. You think about Paul talking about how he couldn't do the things he wanted to do, how he was all the time struggling against his flesh, and you know what? He gives a solution in the next chapter. You got to be spiritual minded. Get the flesh out of the way. Amen? Crucify the flesh.
Yeah.
Bible says in Galatians over after chapter 5, right after he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Yeah.
Amen. If we're going to be in tune with God and in touch with God, what He wants us to do, we have to be destroying, crucifying, mortifying this flesh and saying, you know what? Flesh, you're not going to be in between me and God.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that requires fasting. A lot of times that requires, you know what? I'd rather watch a TV program, but you know what? Something tells me in my spirit that I need to stay the Word.
Yes.
Amen. One good thing about it, when you stay the Word, you ain't going to find no drugs, no alcohol, no rated R or anything like that. It's clean. It's pure.
Amen.
Amen. The words of the Lord are pure words.
Yes,
tried
amen.
Seven
amen.
Times in the furnace.
Right.
I begin to think about this and all the things that we go through in life and begin to think about how the Spirit wants to deal with us and wants us to be greater Christians than what we are. Wants us to be able to overcome the flesh. Mm-hmm. Bible talks, I think it's John 10, come that they might have life. Have it more abundantly. But so many people don't have abundant life because they've let the flesh creep in.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Paul that said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Satan's got ways. He knows your buttons to push and he knows how to push them.
Oh, yeah.
And the best way he can hit all of us is in this flesh right here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Every one of us has got a body. Think about that. Amen. God gave us a body. We're all got a body. We're all born into sin. And therefore we tend to try to do the tendencies of the flesh in that sin. We have to let the Spirit, we have to feed the Spirit so that willingness can be stronger to overpower that flesh that's in us. If you want to have revival, amen, you can't come in dragging, you can't come in saying, you know, I'm going to skip tonight. I tell you what, that spiritual man should long to be revived.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible, I want to go a little bit deeper here. I want you to notice this. I was thinking about this, pondering on this. Scripture I've heard and read a thousand times probably, but it never hit me the way it hit me today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We have a soul, we have a spirit, we have a body. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, everybody probably knows this, for the Word of God is quick. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That means there's a difference. Soul and spirit, that's spiritual. Mm-hmm. And of the joints and marrow, that's physical. Mm-hmm. And of the thought, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Mm-hmm. We get thoughts, that's our mind. Our heart is our emotions. Yeah. When I looked at that and I realized in my heart that God knows who I am to my very core.
Right.
Yeah. He knows everybody in this room to your very core.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we like to quote, God knows every hair on my head. He counts them all. He knows exactly what's going on. We think of that and they don't really faze us. But I'll tell you what, if you're lost here tonight, God knows you to the very core of who you are.
Yes,
you if you come in here and you're downtrodden, heavy laden, burdened, God knows you to your very core.
Yes. Amen.
That soul and that spirit, it says the Word of God is able to discern that. The Word of God is able to know your spirit, your body, your soul, your mind, your heart, your emotions.
Yes.
Notice what he says in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That verse opens up in a totally new light when you realize, he really does feel our infirmities. He really does know what we're made of because he made us.
Yes.
I began to think about that soul and spirit, and I began to think about the Word of God. It brought to me this visual image so clear. It's as if you were to pluck out a hair of your head and take a razor sharp knife and split that hair right down the middle. That's how fine the Word of God is.
Yeah.
That's how deep the Word of God cuts. That's how much God knows about me and you.
Right. Yeah.
He knows what it takes for you to get revived.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody's different. Everybody's a different individual.
Yeah.
If we're born again, we have the same God, but He has got within us individual needs. He said there are some that were given gifts of ministry, of teaching, of all these other things. Some evangelize, some prophets, some pastors. Everybody has a different work in the Lord.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different need. God knows that need.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what you need to be revived in this church. If you're seeking revival, God knows exactly what it's going to take and what you're going to need to get revived. What did he say in verse 16? Since we know that God knows this, He knows us, we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace.
Yes, amen.
Boldly. And take God up at His word. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit, I think He's, if I'm not mistaken, if I got the Greek word right, it's called parakletos. That means helper. Amen. That means somebody to assist you. Yeah. We find that God, it says over there in, I think, the second chapter of Hebrews, about the last verse, talks about them that are tempted, He's able to succor them that are tempted. In other words, that means to help them. Because He was also tempted in all points, like yet without sin. So the Holy Spirit is able to dig into our uttermost desires, our uttermost soul, our uttermost spirit within this inward man, and able to draw it out. Able to give us the desires of our spirit and our heart. And if you're born again, then those desires will match what God wants for you.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll put a seed in your heart and your spirit and say, desire this.
Yeah.
And He'll give it to you.
Right.
A couple more verses here and then I'll be done. Begin to read back here in different verses. I'm just going to name some of these off. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in a man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That belly is not a physical belly. That belly, you know, it talks about water shall flow out of your belly like streams, like rivers of water. That's not talking about your stomach. That's an inward spiritual thing again. Inward spiritual thing. Talks in Ecclesiastes, says, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's Acts 7:59. This is the one I quoted a while ago, 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, this flesh, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I just read this. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Last verse I'm going to read, and I'm going to come to a close. How do you get where you can be in tune with God? How do you get to where you can overcome this flesh and get that spirit and let it take its course to follow God with passion, with desire. And Paul summed it up once again in Romans chapter 12. If our body is what's hindering us, if the flesh is what's causing us to have death, and being carnally minded is giving death, the only solution is to crucify the flesh. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let God have your body. He said over there in Corinthians, he said, you know not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, yeah, glorify God in your members and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Lord, here am I. That's what Isaiah said. Here am I, send me. This flesh is just in my way. This flesh is causing me a life of pain and misery. Renew my inward man. Renew my spirit. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about the inward man being renewed day by day. I don't know how many times I've had to say, you know, stop. Let's get things in focus here. Let's find out what the real issue is. Let's talk to God about it and get back in the right mindset. Transform that mind. And you've got all kinds of media out there against you. Media you watch on TV is going to get you in the bad mood. The negativity out there is unreal.
Okay.
Amen. So-and-so got killed. So-and-so killed somebody else. I mean, it's just unreal what you deal with on a daily basis. That's why it's important to get alone like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sorrowed in his soul. And he had to take that flesh and lay it down and say, God, your will be done.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he says here, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you read down there, it talks about different gifts.
Yeah.
That says to me that each and everybody in their own life has something that God wants them to do. And it's only you and God that can work it out.
Yeah.
I can't answer for what Seth needs to be doing right now. I can't answer for the Gilberts, what they need to be doing right now. I can't answer for anybody in this congregation, whether you are in God's will, pursuing what He wants you to do. All I can say is look at myself and examine myself and say, God,
yes,
am I proving that perfect will for me? Am I doing the gifts that you want me to do? Am I living the life that you want me to live? I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. God knows you to your core. And if you really want revival, I tell you right now, hold on. Tonight's the time to get it. Man, I don't know what's transpired between now and Monday when you start the revival. That don't matter. We're here. We're right now. We can't look back in the past and say, oh, I wish I should have. I wish I'd done that. Or I could have. Or I should have, would have, could.
Yeah.
Right now, you've got the opportunity.
Yeah.
Don't walk out that door without taking it. I asked somebody if they couldn't get a song. I want you to search your heart tonight. You know that inward man is an important thing. If you're not born again, that inward man is not where it needs to be. It's not covered by the blood. It doesn't have the blood applied. It doesn't have that liberty that Christ has made it free. Or in Isaiah, he talked about how with their mouths they worship me, but their heart is far from me. If you find yourself in that situation tonight and you think, you know, I'm just going through the motions. I've just been doing the routine. But there's really nothing inside. Come here and get it said before it's too late. As they say.
Page 124.
God has
said, all God wants you is to come as you are. Come just as you are. God knows where you're at. He knows your situation. He knows you can't do nothing else about
it.
He wants you right now as you are. He loves you as you are. But He knows He's got something better for you. Are you willing to come and step out in faith and say, God, put it in your hands. You control my life.
I am waiting now.
you've got something to bring in the Lord. Amen. I'm glad we can all find what we need at Jesus' feet. Amen. We don't have to all go to a separate place for a different need. We come to one place, and God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches. Physical, spiritual, whatever it may be, He's able to supply according to His riches. Amen. I don't have much money. I'm not rich. Most of us aren't rich. We have finite resources. God owns the fullness of the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's got infinite resources. Stretch out the devil, stretch out his hand. The more you got a blessing, will you receive it tonight? Will you come? Thank you.